So welcome, everybody. There's lots of faces I don't recognize, you're all welcome here, and we just want to pass on our Merry Christmases. And that goes also to the people who listen to us from all over the world on the podcast. You are part of our big extended crazy family, and we just want to wish you a Merry Christmas as well. Now, this is only my third sermon, and so I've been doing a lot of research on what makes a great talk, and every single time, the bit of advice you get given is you must start with a laugh or a joke to soften the audience. Now, last time, many of you were here, and you remember that I got up and sang and jumped on some chairs, said some lady's name wrong, and I still haven't lived that down. we got letters from people, and I just want to give you some of the feedback we got. The first one, the irony of your sermon is that it was based on the song It Is Well, yet when you started singing, all was not well. That was from a Mr. Glover. I'm not sure which one, but my money's on Joe. Now, I was kind of expecting this complaint, as I alluded to earlier, because I got somebody's name wrong. Very short email. My name is Julia, not Judith. That was submitted by Judith Oliver. Here's a positive one, a much more positive one. I was really enjoying it. Oh, until I woke up near the end of your sermon. That's from Jeremy. Is he awake? I'm not going to be allowed to go home tonight. I attend this church every week. Please let everyone know that the singing was your idea and not mine. That was from the Holy Spirit. And finally, terrible feedback. We won't be paying you for this sermon. That was written by Dave Parker, who's from Yorkshire. Yeah. So I can't start the sermon with a song. So the next idea I had, well, how many of you watched the Michael McIntyre show on BBC One on a Saturday? That's quite a few of you. Now, in that show, Michael McIntyre just takes a stranger's phone and sends the most embarrassing message you can think of to everybody in the phone book. Anybody willing to give me their phone? No, Dave? That's ballsy. Are you really? Well, I wasn't ready for... I wasn't expecting someone to call my bluff. Well, okay. I'm not going to do that. Well played. So really, that only leaves one thing, and I really, really didn't want to do this to you, but Bill Johnson, at the start of every one of his sermons, reads a few jokes. He believes it softens the heart of the audience, makes them laugh a bit so that they can take in the message. And he uses his iPad, but I didn't bring my iPad today. I had to bring in my joke book, entitled Holy Jokes by Chris Stone and John Hilton, edited by Dave Parker. So I'll just read a few of these. Mary and Joseph. Now, they had a stable relationship. Mary said to Joseph, "Why won't you just throw the rubbish away?" Joseph replied, "There's no room at the bin." It's in the book. I bought my kids a pack of batteries for Christmas with a note saying, "Toys not included." Okay. All right, I think it's off enough now, so I can start this. So, yeah, good to know. I love Christmas because love is everywhere, isn't it? Christians, non-Christians alike, it's just overflowing. And what we know is that love is powerful. God's act of love at Christmas changed the course of history. Acts of love from humans subsequently have transformed individuals, towns, cities, nations, and even the world. Love is powerful. As many of you will know, a few weeks ago, I was suffering with really bad heart pain and chest pain and shortness of breath and really not doing particularly well. Well, on the 1st of December, I ended up having to go to A&E. The doctor said I should go because my breath, I was barely breathing well at all, and I had weakness in my arms and legs. And I went into the A&E. I had all these tests done, you know, ECGs, chest x-rays, blood tests, all of this sort of stuff. And the doctor turned around and said, Chris, can you go wait in the waiting room for a few hours while we get to see what the results say? Now, there I was. You know what I'm like. I was sat on the chair, and my first thought was, oh, my goodness, I've got heart disease. And it makes sense because my granddad had it. And if I have got heart disease, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to lose my job. My relationship's going to end. I'm going to not be able to do all of the fun adventures that I normally like to do. And I'm going to die. It's amazing what the mind can tell you. To distract myself, I was looking around the room, and there were so many children in there that day. It just didn't seem fair. It's the 1st of December. They should be out there celebrating Christmas and having all of these wonderful, exciting adventures. So I looked up to God, and I just prayed, Lord, help us, please, help us. And as I said this, the Christmas song, The Power of Love, came on the radio. Now, I'm not going to do it to you, but I'm going to read some of the lyrics. And it says that it goes like this. The power of love, a force from above, cleaning my soul, make love your goal. God instantly spoke to me and said this. I made you powerful, so you go out and set the tone. Now, I meditated on that for a second and decided in my wisdom to get up, leave the hospital, walk into town, buy two big red sacks, fill them with toys and presents, run them back to the hospital, walk them through the door. And I was mindful at this moment of the scripture that Jesus gives us to not blow your trumpet as you're doing a nice thing. So I thought, I'll just leave them in the doorway. I walked away a little bit and then had visions of a newspaper headline talking about a hospital being abandoned because of two suspicious sacks in the doorway. So I picked them back up. I ran into the reception. And I dumped them on the desk and said, for the kids, and legged it back out again. It's not bad for someone with heart disease, right? I felt fear, but God told me to choose love. You see, my heart and mind were so preoccupied with love when doing this that I just simply could not feel fear in my heart anymore. You see, fear and love cannot occupy the heart at the same time. In the scriptures, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, we're told that God's perfect love casts out fear. And in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21, we're told that whoever pursues love finds life. In the coming days, I started to get better. It was a miracle. Immediately after I left the hospital, my breath came back to normal. My chest pain subsided, and my back pain went as well. An act of love from God healed me. In the coming days, I also wondered what was going on in the hospital. What happened with those toys? What did God do with them? And so I asked him, and he came back with this. John chapter 1, verse 5. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. He said to me that in a hospital filled with fear, he was able to use an act of love to completely transform the atmosphere. Love is powerful. John verse 3, chapter 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In the Christmas story, God demonstrated that love is so powerful it can change our destiny. And by choosing love, you can transform other people's situations. You can transform towns. You can transform cities. You can transform countries. And you can transform the world. Love is powerful. You are powerful. So you set the tone. To help you, to inspire you to do that, I want to share with you today what powerful love looks like as demonstrated by God and Jesus in the Christmas story. Firstly, powerful love is a choice. When I was 6, I was going through a bit of a rebellious streak, and I was pushing as many boundaries as I could with my mum. And I had this genius idea one day that whilst she was downstairs cooking, I would go upstairs into her bedroom, find her most expensive lipstick, and write the rudest word I could on the wall. P-O-O-P. poo. I felt like such a big boy. I was finally a man. I was brave. I was courageous. And then I heard Mum's foot hit the step. And she started coming up the stairs. And suddenly, my heart filled with fear. So I went up to the wall. And I just tried to rub off this rude word. And it just got worse and worse and worse. So I needed something wet. And there was no water in her room. All she had was shampoo. So I took the shampoo and I squirted it up against the wall and started scraping it off again. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And she stepped into the room, saw what had happened. And I did what every brave young boy did. I blamed my three-year-old sister. Sorry, sis. I did something bad and I was scared of the consequences. I just imagine what that would have been like for people 2,000 plus years ago if they had known just a few days before that God was coming to earth. You see, we had done some terrible things, things that would have broken the very heart of God. We'd killed his other children. We'd stolen from him. We'd mocked him. We'd done all sorts of terrible things that would break his heart. And if I had been there, I can only imagine what my thoughts would be. I would be thinking that I'm in so much trouble. That where can I hide from God? What awful punishment is he going to bring? Will I survive him coming? And the fear would just keep building and building and building. And then I'd be looking up to the sky and I'd see this angel come down. And I'd be thinking, oh no, this is it. I'm in so much trouble now. And the angel would say, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. What? All I did was write poo on the wall, and I got grounded for a month. My mum does love me, though, just for the record. Despite all the bad things we had done, God still chose to love us, and he was steadfast in that. There was no change. In this choice, his son Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we didn't have to. God knew that the way to transform us was not to punish us, but to love us. Love is that powerful. And here's the thing. It's the most difficult people we know that need us to choose love the most. In Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 18, Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. I recently watched a nature documentary. And the cameramen were following around these elephants in Africa. And these elephants were really young. They'd just been orphaned. Their parents had been killed for the ivory. What the scientists and documentary makers noticed that was these elephants were getting gradually more and more aggressive. This is particularly normal during that adolescence phase as they become adults. But what wasn't normal was that these elephants were not shifting from this phase. They were getting bigger and bigger, and when they were supposed to become mild, peaceful adult elephants, they were still stuck in this phase of adolescence. They were getting more and more aggressive, more violent, and it was a real problem for the gamekeepers. To the point where the elephants were actually attacking humans, destroying property, and killing other animals. There was one scene in which they held a rhino underwater and drowned it. This was not normal behavior for elephants. Desperate for help, scientists were drafted in to help the gamekeepers, and the scientists found that probably the best thing to do here is to put them in with a tribe of other elephants, where there were elder males and elder females that could watch over them. And when they did this, the most incredible thing happened. The elephants, the young elephants, dropped their aggression levels. They became normal and regulated as per they were supposed to. The scientists narrowed it down to the exact moment that this change in behavior happened. And it was actually the exact moment that the elder elephants accepted them as their own. Love is powerful. Now, don't get me wrong, there might be a few people in here that are experiencing relationships with difficult people at the moment. Choosing love does not mean that you need to put up with or accept abuse or any other toxic or harmful behaviors. Let me show you what that looks like. When I was a child, I used to go up into the woods and get really, really plastered in mud. I'm talking head to toe brown. And I would walk home, knock on my mum's door, and she would open the door, and she'd look at me and say this. She'd say, "Chris, I love you more every single day, but you're not dragging all that dirt in my house. Clean it all off first. I'll help you if you need to. Then you can come in." Love is powerful. You are powerful. You set the tone. Secondly, powerful love is proximate. At law school, I was being interviewed for work experience. The barrister who was interviewing me asked me the classic question, "Chris, why did you choose law?" And I came up with the cliche answer, "Because I love justice." And he turned around and asked me, "Okay, what is justice to you?" And I said, returned the message and said, "Well, let me tell you what justice isn't. It's not poverty. It's not suffering. It's not slavery. It's not abuse. It's not fear." Now, I'm nailing the interview at this point. I'm choosing the tie that I'm going into the workplace with. Until the barrister asked me this question: "What are you doing then to help these people?" "Well, I'm studying the books about it." "And that's about it." He said, "Well, that's great. But what are you doing to really help these people?" And all I could say was, "Nothing." And I wasn't. After that interview, I went off on this crazy application process trying to find voluntary positions where I could help as many of these people that needed justice as possible. And in the next few years, I worked with wrongly convicted prisoners. I got to work with victims of human trafficking, and I got to work with people that were below the poverty line and being kicked out of their houses. I wasn't helping people until I got close to them. Powerful love is proximate. God says this all throughout the Bible, you know. In Isaiah 61, he himself says, "I, the Lord, love justice." And he tells us how to go and get it. He says, "Go and proclaim good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim freedom for the captives. Release from darkness the prisoners." We can't do any of this from afar. We have to get close to them. Powerful love means we have to get proximate. Did God not model this perfectly in the Christmas story? Humanity was in great danger. We were committing all sorts of sin and facing suffering for eternity. But because God loved us so much, he came near as Jesus to save us. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, an angel appears to Joseph and says, "Mary will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That's right. And doesn't God always come near when we need him most? In Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit." Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23, "I am a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off." Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave or forsake you." Powerful love is proximate. Love is powerful. You are powerful. You set the tone. Thirdly and finally for today, powerful love is vulnerable. And men, I'm speaking to the men in here, don't we just do the craziest things when we're pursuing women for love, right? I'm sure there's loads of embarrassing stories. And I got one for you, which my home group will dine out on for months, but there we are. Yeah. Quiet, you in the back. A few months ago, it was my girlfriend's birthday, and I was determined to do some big, lovely, soppy, romantic gesture to show her how I felt about her. And so I came up with this list, these big visions of crazier and crazier things that I was going to do, but finally settled on buying her a small cake, sticking a candle in it, and singing happy birthday to her as she got off the train. It's kind of not so bad, I guess. So, like a typical man, I left everything to the last minute and had to get to Bath an hour early to make sure I had everything I needed. So the first step was to go get a cake. And could it be any cake, just any cake? No, it had to be the most perfect cake I could possibly get. So there I was running around Bath, like looking at all these shops. I got to Patisserie Valerie and thought, that's the one. And so I asked for it. It was a lovely cheesecake and I got it. And then I got outside and I realized I couldn't hold this in my hands at a train stop because it's falling through it. So I popped it in a box, gave it to a homeless person, and started my quest again throughout Bath to try and find the best cake I possibly could. And about half an hour later, I finally stumbled upon this shop, and the window said this: best cakes in Bath. If it's on the window, it must be true, right? So I finally managed to track down the perfect cake. And then the next dilemma was, I needed to find the perfect candle. It couldn't just be any candle. No. It had to be the exact color I needed for this particular color cake. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work. The whole gesture would go down, and I would not be able to show her just how much I felt for her. So off I went, round Bath, several shops. Why do no shops sell candles anymore, by the way? Working my way through all of these candles, all sorts of colors, but they didn't have the right one I wanted. And just as I was about to give up, I found it, a lovely little gold one that matched perfectly the color of the cake. But I don't smoke, so I don't have a lighter. So off I went. And could I just get any lighter? No, it had to be the perfect color lighter to match the candle and match the cake. Otherwise, she wouldn't know how much I cared for her. So off I went. And I found, after about 15 minutes, this lighter that, to be honest with you, she didn't even see. So it didn't matter, but I got it. And so I'm starting to walk to the train station. Now, you guys know how bad my singing is, right? So I'm not feeling particularly confident at the moment. And I'm thinking to myself, if I sing to her, she's going to bloomin' dump me. So, after the last time. So I was just gradually getting more and more nervous and convinced myself, okay, it's going to be okay. I'm going to sing. I'm at the train station now. I'm going to sing when she gets off the train. And just as I was about to pluck up the courage, the train doors opened and about 300 big blokes got off in rugby tops because that was the day that Bath Rugby were kicking off their season. And there I was, stood with this weedy little cake and a matching candle. Wondering how on earth I'm going to get through this. And then God, tongue-in-cheek, as he often does with me, said this. He said, Chris, are you willing to drop your pride and do something silly to show my daughter how you feel about her? I said, oh, no. I said, don't call my bluff, God. You know I'm full of stupid ideas. Anyway, she got off the train, and I did it. I sang Happy Birthday. It was weak, it was lame, but at least it showed her how I felt. Thank you. Best boyfriend ever. She might be listening to the recording, so we'll just get that up. Powerful love is vulnerable. When we are vulnerable, we put everything on the line to build a stronger, more intimate connection with those we care about. Being vulnerable breeds trust. It shows them how we feel about them. And that's exactly what God did for us at Christmas, right? An atheist friend of mine recently sent me a text with one of his loaded questions. He only talks to me once every 6 months, but it's because he's got a question that he thinks is going to completely unravel my faith. Well, I always have fun. So I'm going to read you the phone exchange that we had, because I think it demonstrates quite well how God was so truly vulnerable with us. My friend said, "Why, Chris, would the Son of God, 100% God, leave heaven and come to earth as a weak little baby? If this was true, it would be the craziest thing anyone has ever done, ever." Now I sensed an opportunity, so I replied. "I agree. It's totally crazy. And you know what? It gets crazier." My friend replies, "How so?" I've got him at this point. I replied, "You see, not only did he come to earth as a baby, he only got himself born in the middle of a king trying to kill him. That's nuts. And guess what? There's more." So my friend has texted me back and says, "See, I knew you would come around eventually. What else am I missing? I'm loving this. LOL. For the older people, that's laugh out loud. Write your letters, it's fine. So I went back to him and I said, "Well, the King of Kings had to rely on Mary and Joseph to feed him, clean him, and protect him. Why would you do that? LOL. It's mad, and it gets even more absurd." My friend replied, "Wait, you were trying to preach to me now, aren't you? Hashtag not amused." So I went back to him and I replied, "No, I'm agreeing with you. It's crazy. And guess what? It doesn't stop there. Hashtag Emmanuel." So my friend replies, "Okay, what else?" And I replied, "You'll never guess what God did next. The Almighty God actually gave himself the ability to, wait for it, feel real human emotions. And we know from the scriptures that in his time here, he experienced grief, loneliness, sadness, pain, and angst so bad that he was sweating blood. Why on earth would God do that if he didn't need to? Hashtag, it's nuts." My friend replied, "You're definitely preaching to me now, aren't you?" And I went, "No, not at all. LOL. Hashtag, why did he die for us?" My friend came back straight away and said, "Yeah, so why do you say that you love him so much? As you said, if God is real, what he did was absurd." So I replied, "I guess that's the point, though. God loved us so much that he was willing to take the most vulnerable and objectively absurd of positions just to prove his love for us. And that, my friend, is the point. An intimate, loving relationship with us that would last forever was worth all of that vulnerability for him. How can I not love him for that? Hashtag truth bomb. Hashtag you got preached." He hasn't texted me back. Love is powerful. You are powerful. So you set the tone. Now, some of you may go away today and put this into practice, and it'll be easy for a while until you get to Christmas Day. And the kids are high on chocolate, your husband is asleep on the sofa, whilst you're slaving away in the kitchen, cooking the turkey, and then after a few hours, you finally finished it, you're knackered, you take the turkey, you shove it on the table, and your husband takes a little bit off, takes a bite, and looks at you and says, "Turkey's a bit dry, love." And you want to take the stuffing and stuff it somewhere you shouldn't. Because as lovely as the idea of love is, stupid Chris forgot to tell us how to choose love when we just don't feel it. Well, don't worry, I've got your back. And I'm just going to tell you what Jesus did, because he modeled it perfectly. In Matthew 14, when Jesus heard what happened to his friend John the Baptist, who was killed, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. Here's what happened. Jesus suffered a painful thing in his heart. He withdrew, spent time with God, came out overflowing with compassion for others. King David did exactly the same thing. Check this out. Basically, David and his men had gone away and come back to their campsite, where all of their families had been kidnapped and the site destroyed. And 1 Samuel chapter 30 says this, David and his men were in anguish. Some of David's men talked about stoning him because they were so bitter about their families being taken. But David went off and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Here's what happened. David suffered a painful thing. His men wanted to kill him. He took himself off, spent time with God, came back overflowing with compassion and bravery and courage, and managed to sort things out. If you're finding it hard to choose love, do this. Go spend time with God, encourage yourself in him, and watch your heart overflow. Why does this happen? 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 9 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, "We love because God first loved us." Let's put it this way. If your phone is running out of electricity, okay, the battery's on 2%, you've probably got an iPhone, which only lasts about 5 minutes. So what do? You take it, you plug it in to the source of its power, the electricity, and that fills it back up again. Same applies with God. If your heart is running low on love, plug yourself into the source. God is love. Love is powerful. You are powerful. You set the tone. Okay, so by show of hands, how many of you here have done your Christmas shopping? That makes me look really bad. How many of you in here have not finished and would really appreciate it if I hurried this up, wrapped it up so you can go off to the shops? One. Two. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap this up for you two. And also for all the men in here that were too scared to put their hands up because their wives think they finished their Christmas shopping. I see you, Dave. Don't know why you're laughing, Chris. Okay, let's wrap this up. God created you to be powerful. Through acts of love, you can transform people's lives, towns, cities, nations, and even the world. It's been done. I'm reminded of a really great true story about this switch between fear and love and how much of an impact it can make. There was a US Marine with the greatest name in the world called Chesty Puller. Now, he was in charge of a small team of Marines in the Korean War. And he'd managed to lead them into a place where they'd become surrounded by Korean troops. Chesty, looking at the situation, felt dread and fear in his heart because he knew that today was probably going to be his last day. He was going to get killed here. But as he was doing that and focusing on that, he turned to his troops, and he looked at them, and was immediately overwhelmed with compassion. You see, he felt that these troops, if he didn't sort himself out, were going to die as well. And their families, their children, their wives would never see them again. So he checked himself, and he realized that the next thing he had to do was choose the loving response. And so he did this. He said to his men, "Men, the enemy's to the left, the enemy's to the right, the enemy's in front of us, and the enemy is behind us. there's no way they can escape this time. And you'll never guess what? They all survived. That is the power of kicking fear out of your heart and replacing it with love. I was really lucky to attend a lecture with Philippe Sands QC. Philippe is a barrister who goes to the International Court of Justice and prosecutes the worst of war criminals. He's had to visit the worst crime scenes you can possibly imagine. We're talking mass graves and horrific, horrific things. At the end of his lecture, a member of the audience put their hand up and said, "Philippe, how can you possibly be smiling when you see all of these terrible things on a regular basis?" And he answered, "It is simple. The places I have to visit are dark, and I have to see the worst acts of humanity. But I also get to see the most incredible acts of love and light, acts of incredible sacrifice and bravery and love that transform these places at their lowest point. That's what I remember and focus on before I go to sleep at night." Love is powerful. You are powerful. So you go out there and set the tone this Christmas. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you are a loving, gracious God. Thank you that you've offered us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect. It never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, thank you that your love is patient. Help us show patience with those around us. Lord, thank you that your love is kind. Help us to extend kindness to others. Lord, thank you that true love is not jealous. Help us cast aside feelings of jealousy or hatred towards another. Lord, thank you that your love does not brag and is not arrogant. Help us not to live with pride or arrogance, but to choose to walk with humility and grace. Lord, thank you that true love does not act unbecomingly. Lord, help us to extend kindness instead of rudeness towards others. Lord, thank you that true love does not seek its own. Lord, help us to live unselfishly, looking after others. Lord, thank you that true love is not provoked. Lord, help us to become less easily angered. Lord, thank you that your love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Lord, help us not to hold grudges. Lord, thank you that your love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Lord, help us to love your words of truth. May we walk in your freedom and wisdom. Lord, thank you that your love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Thank you that your love never fails. Lord, this Christmas and beyond, we ask you to keep us topped up with your love so that we, as you have authorized us to do, can work with you to overwhelm people, towns, cities, nations, and the world with love, and as a result, transform it. And Lord, as we're on the subject of love, I pray today for Sid, who is someone we dearly love here at this church. He's in the hospital, and it's not acceptable that he's in this way. So we ask you, Lord, to transform him today with your overwhelming act of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas!